Ooh, what up, though? It is another Tuesday. I'm still on a WrestleMania hangover, but it's fight week. I got more fights to call this weekend. Going down this weekend, Lights Out Championship 15. We've got the return of our guy, Mondo El Toro Gutierrez. And like I said in the title, he didn't come alone. He's got his little brother, Miguel Gutierrez, who's also going to be fighting on that card. Make sure you check it out this weekend. And Muskegon at the Trinity Health Arena. But before we get to that, I got to tell you about the homies and our sponsors over at Potter's Tree Service. If you're in the need for tree removal, tree trimming, chipping service, storm damage cleanup, walnut logging, or lot clearing, Potter's Tree Service is the way to go. So check all these things out. You can see for yourself. If you need to get any of this stuff done, you don't need to call Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He might give you a good 2x4. Ace of Potter and the boys at Potter's Tree Service will get you together. Now, check them out, hit the links, and enjoy the show as we talk about Lights Out Championship 15.
This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you ever seen, boy.
This is Mr.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover! We got it from the world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast dating to the real deal, baby!
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
You love to see it on a Tuesday. Shout out, Chris. What up, Doe? Checking in from Massachusetts. But we are back here, and like I said, it is fight week. And, yeah, your boy is still on fumes, but we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got the return of our guy, Miguel El Toro. Or I misfucked it up. I'm already fucking myself. Mondo El Toro. I was reading your nickname before I read it, Miguel, but I fucked myself up. But we got the Gutierrez brothers are joining us tonight. We got fights to talk about. How y'all doing, gentlemen?
Doing pretty good. What up, y'all?
Fuck, man. I come back to Michigan, and you guys brought the warm weather. Where the fuck was this in Philly?
For real, man. Hey, I'm taking advantage of this. Full advantage. I got the lawn right today.
I ain't mad at that at all. Corey J. Bone, how the hell are you doing?
Corey's on mute, it looks like, but I'm doing good, man. I still got the WrestleMania hangover from the weekend, checking all that out. It was a lot of fun. Just living, dude. Living, man. Warm weather's here.
Miguel, we man.
On a grill soon. You know what I'm talking about?
Fuck yeah, man. I'm always down to eat. Welcome to the show, my man. I have gotten to call a couple of your fights now. I saw what you were doing in APFC. Welcome to the show. How are you feeling about this weekend, man? And getting to fight alongside your brother, first of all.
You know, it's real fucking cool fighting alongside Mondo. It's never happened before. We've always trained together. And, like, he's always been there for me, been there for my fights. So it's just weird, like, him being on the other end, like, you know, we're going to be suited up and ready to go on the same day. And just, it's weird not having him in my corner, but I got to experience a little bit of that for APFC. He wasn't in my corner for that fight. So, you know, it's just new experiences.
New experience is going to make you a better fighter. I mean, Mondo, I mean, same question really for you. I mean, now you're getting to fight alongside your little bro here. First of all, talk to me about that. How has training camp been for both of you guys, and how do you feel fighting alongside your little brother?
Honestly, this camp has been better than ever. Like, I know people say that shit all the time, and it's, like, super cliche, but to be honest, this is by far the best I ever felt camp-wise. I started cross training back in Chicago with Valley Flow Striking, and still repping Mercy, still going hard with the guys here. But I've been back home, and like I've been taking full advantage of the fact that I'm back in Chicago to be able to train with my little brother at Mango Combat Sports too. So it's been a really like wholesome camp. Like I've just been, it feels like I'm training because I want to, not because I have to. And like I've just been. Everything I've been running off of motivation rather than running off of discipline, like and that gas tank is a lot easier to tap into. So it's been super fun, and I'm just thriving, man. I'm ready to go out there and let that shit show this weekend.
Hell yeah, man. I'm looking forward to being back on the call for this one. I mean, like I said, I got to see both of your guys' handiwork outside the cage. But with that being said, you know, that brings me to one of the first questions I have. Obviously, your last fight for Fury FC. You got injured. You had to come back from injury. Before we get to this fight, I guess that's as good a place as any to start. Talk to me about your last fight. what happened with that and talk me through kind of like the recovery process, because I was kind of surprised when I heard you were coming back this quickly from an injury that was, you know, a bad injury. And you're not only coming back, you're fighting against a tough ass opponent and Derek Mandel. So talk to me about the injury. Talk to me about your recovery and how you're feeling about this fight.
Like I said, I'm feeling better than ever, man. I think the best way I can describe this camp has been gratitude, man. Like, I'm just super grateful to even be here right now. You know, the injury I was dealing with is something that takes a lot of people, that takes their career away forever. You know, it takes people out of the sport forever. So I'm super grateful that I was able to continue with this. But I said it from the day that it happened, it didn't feel like the end for me. It didn't feel like I never saw myself walking away because something else prevented me from continuing. It had to be because of me. So, yeah, I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, I fought in November. I was fighting Cam Smotherman, a top prospect in the country. And it was a big fight, you know, big moment, main event. And I'm up 2-10-8 rounds. I'm having my way, doing exactly what I said I was going to do. And towards the end of the second round, my neck pops. And all of a sudden, I get this shooting pain down my arms, and I can't move them anymore. Like, I lost complete motor function in my arms. And all of a sudden, I can't breathe. Something's wrong. Fast forward to the third round. I'm basically throwing, like, fighting with no arms. I'm trying to just press him against the cage, do what I got to do to try to squeeze out the victory and, like, make it out of the third round and win the fight. But obviously, it didn't work out that way. I go back home. I realize something isn't right. I go to the hospital, get an MRI, the whole deal. It turns out I have 2 herniated discs. I knew I already had one, but it wasn't a big deal. I've had that since college. And the second one was a little bit more severe. It also led me to have spinal stenosis, which means it's like extreme tension on the nerves in your neck and the tendons in your neck. So it basically, like worst cases, people go paralyzed, they lose motor function, things like that. But I herniated my C5-6 and C6-7 vertebrae, which are the ones that control your arms, your chest, and your lungs, and your heart. So obviously that explains why I lost the motor function, why it was hard to breathe and all that sort of stuff. So it was a long road to recovery, but let's just say now I know why stem cells are not accessible in the United States, man. I went down to Mexico and I got stem cells, and it was a world, like, it changed my entire world. That alone helped the recovery, speed it up a ton. And ever since then, I've just been doing, like, staying hard on my PT, doing everything I needed to do. And I feel like I feel healthy for the first time in my life. I wake up with no pain. I wake up and I feel like a normal human rather than beat up all the time, you know? So I'm really excited. I'm excited to go out there and show it, you know? I can talk about it all day, but showing it is a whole different thing.
There's a weird thing that happens when injuries like that, man. It gives you this extra layer of motivation, that's for sure. Once you go through something like that, kind of like with what you were saying before, it's like you get to see from the outside, like you get to actually take like inspiration from the things that you've already done and being able to get to that point. And you're like, am I able to continue with the dreams and hopes that I had before the injury? And then to be able to overcome that and get to that point again, man, it's like you get to see it from a different level.
Hell yeah.
With that being said, can you talk to me a little bit about like how the whole stem cell process works? Because we've seen so many fighters at this point. There's been multiple fighters we've heard of having to go through that. And we've seen good return rate from a lot of people. So talk to me a little bit about the whole stem cell thing. And talk to me about like what some of your concerns were with doing something like that to try to heal yourself up.
So I'm going to try my absolute hardest to not sound like a dumbass if there's any smart people listening. Like, I don't want to completely butcher it. But long story short, stem cells, that's the mother's milk, man. It's the best of the best. It's nature's superpower, from my understanding and from what I've felt, you know. So the original stem cell is like when the sperm and the egg, boom, you know, makes a person. Cool, that's the original stem cell. Well, when someone's carrying you in the womb and you're in the placenta, that placenta is full of liquid. That liquid carries a shit ton of stem cells. And that right there has the power to fight off diseases, cure injuries, cure illnesses, cure anything. And it works for absolutely everything. Like, literally, it just, you can plug it in anything and it works. And so basically, In the United States, you can't get stem cells from a baby placenta. You can only get your own stem cells rejuvenated, is what it's called, I believe. Like, they basically juice up your own stem cells and inject them back into you. But in Mexico, you can go and you can go to a lab and you can order baby placenta stem cells, which is what I did. And what they do is they take blood out of your neck or whatever the affected area is. They take your blood out, they spin the blood, they separate it, and there's like layers of blood. There's this little tiny section of blood in there somewhere that's underneath all the, or above all the red stuff. It's almost like, it's not plasma, but it's not the red blood cells. It's somewhere in between. And that acts like as a, almost like a guide to take these stem cells and put them and direct them exactly to where the injured area is for them to help and fix it. So they took the blood out, they spun it, they mixed, they separated, they put that blood in with the stem cells and they inject it in the injured area, and it helps. And basically that's what they did. I got 100 million units or 100 million cells split up between the four ends of my vertebrae on my neck and an IV. So I got a little bit extra in there that helped me like fix my knee that I had. And on one of my knees, I have a torn MCL, ACL, and meniscus. So, I mean, but there's no real issue with it, you know, so I didn't really care to fix it. And it helped that too. So I just took that and ran with it. Came back home, kept up with a PT, kept doing my thing. And thank God it all worked out and I feel a lot better.
Miguel, question for you, my man. You know, he talked a little bit about, you know, training in Chicago and all those things. Talk to me about your training for this fight. Are you getting any work in with Mercy, or are you completely out there in Chicago?
So I'm completely out the picture from Mercy. I haven't been up to Michigan in like, I haven't been there since last year around October. So yeah, I'm full-time training out here. I train under Mango Combat Sports. My head coach is Doug Mango. He's a real old school coach. You know, he has a lot of, he was back in the, like, you know, the old West days of the UFC, I'd say. Like, he trained Pat Curran, Jeff Curran, a few other guys he's been around for, but, you know.
He had a bunch of guys, Joey Deal, tons of guys.
What's that one guy, the first 155 champ?
Sean Shirk. Was it Sean Shirk?
No.
No, that's not Sean Shirk.
He just went under the Hall of Fame.
Give me 2 seconds. I'm gonna have to look it up. I'm drawing a blank.
He was from military.
The Currens, though, are from when I first started training. I love watching Jeff Curran, and I just heard that he's coming back to compete against Uriah Faber at A1 Combat in a grappling match, which I think that's gonna be dope. Pat Curran actually, was a Mondo's savage and
helping him get ready for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me.
So his coach, Doug Mango, is like super locked in with the Currens. I mean, he was their original coach forever. So a couple weeks back during boxing sparring, he was like, I was telling Jeff that you're the perfect guy to go with, to go to practice with him, because you guys have similar styles, similar size, and you're the perfect build to help him get ready for that. I was like, hell yeah, man. If he wants to get some rolls in, let's do it, man. I got nothing but respect for Jeff and what he's done in the MMA scene. So I'd love to get to work with them, and it'd be a big feather in my cap to help people. Like, you know, I love helping people. I love helping people for high profile matchups, high profile things, and helping him beat Uriah Faber. That'd be crazy, you know?
Dude, it's insane that they're going at it again, because those are two OGs of the sport. Anybody that doesn't know about the Currens,
do yourself a favor and go look them up. I've been watching them for a long time, so that's dope to hear as well. I mean, now with you getting this cross training, man, I mean, I feel like that's something that we're seeing more and more. I mean, like you mentioned, you know, you're still working with Mercy as well, with everybody that's already over there doing their thing, like Charles Energy Johnson. I just heard Chaos is getting back in the cage. Yep. You know, you've got Buckley, who just got a huge win, won me some money too, by the way. So thank you, good sir. But with all that said, I mean, the more looks that you guys are getting, the better. And you talking about getting looks from people like the Curran, bro, is only gonna be able to help you. So that's just insane to be, you know, here in the lineage. And that's the thing with here in Michigan, you know, you hear a lot of the coaches, like I came up under Don Richard, and he's had his hands on a lot of the guys that came up here in Michigan, but
there's always that stigma, not just here in Michigan, but in other places where it's like, if you don't kind of get out of your own like home base and train a little bit, you know, you don't always get all the eyes and get all the looks. So it's good to hear that as you're getting ready to make your return and Miguel's making another run to the cage himself, that you guys are getting multiple looks like that. Yeah. Miguel, for you, I just got done watching your last fight for Anthony Pettis FC. You know, you talked a little bit about how you didn't have Mondo in your corner for that fight. Talk to me about fighting for APFC. What did it mean to be fighting on a bigger platform like that when they're on UFC Fight Pass and all those things? And talk me through that last fight and getting a victory, by the way. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Man, it was fucking awesome. So long story short, last August, I'm living out in Michigan still with Mondo. And I had a fight lined up for Lights Out. And the week before, the guy ended up pulling out. So that whole like training camp went to waste, and you know, I ended up moving out to Chicago that like around that time, and I got offered the fight for APFC, and I took it. And at that point, I'd already been training with Mango, and things had been going good. And for that fight, I really wanted to like showcase my striking and show everybody like I am a striker, man. I can grapple, but I really don't prefer to do that. I'm a showman. I like going out there. I like being on the big stage. I don't really got to talk too much. I let my fights do the work. And, man, it was dope. I love being able to go out there, get the win. And I really put an exclamation point on that one. I feel like I did. I was up two rounds. Third round comes around. Anybody who's up two rounds, they'll start to coast. But not me. I met him in the center, kept going, won the fight.
Man, and that's the thing. Getting a fight like that under your belt so early in your career, because, man, the last fight I got to call of yours, man, you went through a fucking war. Like, you got dropped twice and still got up off the floor and finished the guy. So
that was my first fight.
Was the last one. That was the first one I got to call of yours. And yeah. I watched.
He didn't call the second fight with Neff. He didn't call.
Oh, I thought he did.
No. Yeah, I only got to call the first one. That's why I'm saying the last one I personally got to watch cage side. I remember watching this fight like, damn, this kid is tough, because you got dropped twice and then got up to finish the guy. I mean, getting experience like that so young in your career, talk to me about what that does for you, because now not only do you know you can finish somebody or beat a tough opponent, I mean, you've already been through a couple wars, and as you start to progress through your MMA career, that's only going to serve you up.
Yeah, so actually it was a little bit more than twice. I got dropped, I think, 4 or 5 times in that fight in one round. And it was a little bit crazy because that was my first MMA fight. I went out there with only 4 months of training. And, you know, I just everybody around me made me feel ready. And I went out there and I got to see, you know, how far the game really does go. Like, I went out there. It was my first fight. I fought somebody with 6 fights already. And, you know, I got to see that experience, and, you know, I battled through it, got the finish, got the win. And ultimately I just fell in love with the game because of it. Like training, that's fucking great, but you'll never like really understand that feeling of being in that cage and getting your hand raised. There's just no other feeling. And like, you'll chase that your whole life just to win those fights, man. It's fucking great. You'll do whatever it takes to win those fights.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, Corey, you know, that's what you train for. I mean, yeah. Corey, you know, you've gotten to be outside the cage with me for a few of these fights now. J-Bone, you as well, getting to call the last Lights Out Championship with me. Dude, it's been cool to kind of watch your guys rise, you know, as you are coming through the ranks. You know, you talk about the Currens. We just talked about the Currens. You got Pat Curran, who's not Jeff Curran's brother, but they're still family like that. You got Pat and Jeff Curran. You've got multiple brothers who have fought in the UFC and other organizations. I mean, talk to me about, is there any added pressure for either one? I guess this is a question for both of you guys. Is there any added pressure with having both of you guys on the same card? Or do you feel like it's just another day in the office? Because it's got to be a little nerve-wracking to watch your little brother fight. And then you got to go out there and do business later on in the night.
I'll let him go first.
All right. What you got, Mondo?
I think he's on mute.
Uh-oh, you're on mute, boss.
It's all good. These things happen a lot.
Technical difficulties.
These things happen all the time. All the time.
Gotta love it.
Lost connection.
I can see him, but I can't hear him. Yeah, all right, Miguel, while he's figuring that out, I'll let you go first.
So for me, it's just another day in the office, really. Like I don't get nervous for Mondo's fights. That feeling went away for a long time ago for me. This is gonna be Mondo's 18th, 19th, 20th fight. I have no clue, dude. I've seen so many of them. Yeah, that nervous feeling kind of just goes away, and I'm just really more excited to get to compete alongside him. It's something that's gonna be real cool to look back in the future when we're all old and wrinkly, looking back, seeing that we fought on the same car together.
There we go.
It's insane, man. It's just crazy ass life. I never expected to be doing this. You know, I wasn't a little kid expecting to be a fighter when I grew up. It just kind of happened, and I fucking love it. And you know, I'm along for the ride.
What attracted you to the game for that though? Like, if you say that wasn't something that you ever saw yourself doing, what got you into wanting to fight?
Well, so when I moved out to Michigan, I was just living with Mondo, just wanted to get out the house. I just wanted to move out of my parents' house and go experience things. And then at the time I was wrestling. So I was at a JUCO, I was at Mott Community College, and I was wrestling for them. And, you know, things really didn't go my way. I was really only going to school to wrestle. I don't really care about academics. I was never much of a student. And I ended up flunking out of school. Whatever. And at this point, I had all this wrestling, didn't know what to do with it. Mondo started inviting me to MMA practices, and it was it was fun because it felt like I was needed there, because he would be like, oh, this guy's getting ready for this fight, he needs some wrestling bodies, just go wrestle, that's it, that's all you got to do, you don't got to strike, you don't got to do anything, just go wrestle. And it felt nice to be needed, or not necessarily needed, but it felt nice to be able to help these guys, guys that are in the UFC or on their way to the UFC, and me just being somebody fresh out of high school, you know, it felt cool being in the gym. And eventually I put the gloves on. My first day at MMA practice was actually a sparring day, so that was real fun. It's nice going back to look at the videos of my first MMA practice. I got to spar with Mondo, and you know, back then I thought it was the most serious thing in the world. We were going hard, and now looking back, I see how easy he was taking it on me. And it's nice being able to look back and see how much I've learned. And it's just a whole new grind. And it's I had that during wrestling, and I didn't fulfill everything I wanted to do. And, you know, I just get a whole nother chance to do it. And it just so happens that I ended up being way better at MMA than I ever could have been at wrestling.
I like it. Well, Mondo,
was there ever a point where you got hit or anything like that? You're like, what the hell am I doing?
At any point in time? Everybody, it may not seem like it, but everybody in the gym at Mercy, you know, they're real, they take care of the newer guys, they build them up, and they're everybody's real cool. But there definitely been a couple of times where I've been the one that's gone too hard when they're taking a light on. So obviously they gotta come back and hit me with something, and I'm like, oh, shit. Come with it.
Gotta come with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's funny. You know, as many people on the show know, I've done a lot of training myself too, and that's the funny thing. I came over from straight boxing. So,
you come in, and you come in, and especially if you fought, I had never trained jiu-jitsu or any of that really before I went and started training at MASH, man. And it's it's funny. MMA and grappling and all those things, then when you're mixing them together, it's funny because you'll find out real quick. If you go 100 miles an hour, that can either be really good or it can bite you in the ass. Because if you go full bore and wear yourself out in the first 2 minutes, then you're a sitting duck for somebody who is more experienced. I mean, Mondo, for you, the same question I was asking Miguel, what's it like for you when having him fighting on the same card? Is there any more nerves for you? Is there any, with you fighting later in the card, are you going to be super intent watching that? Are you going to be, you know, more focused on what you got going on? How are you feeling about all that?
To be honest, I was always I wouldn't say scared. I don't think scared's the word. I think I was always hesitant for this day to come, just in case it did, because for on his end, it's business as usual. You know, it's, everything is gravy. He's the first one to go up. It's whatever. He just does his job. But me, on the other hand, I know what it feels like when he steps in the cage, and I know what I go through when he's in the cage. And it's way worse than anything I go through when I'm in the cage, or any other teammate for that matter. Like, that's my brother, you know? So it's really weird thinking about, like, how I'm going to handle, like, as much as I can prepare myself mentally for it. Like, I know he's going to go out there and fight. It has nothing to do with confidence in him or anything like that. I just know that this game is crazy, you know? You never know what could happen. So I think I'm definitely going to be in his corner 100%. Like, I'm obviously not physically in his corner, but I will be out there watching, you know, being one with the crowd, like using it as an advantage to get used to the crowd, you know, hear the sounds and get real familiarized with everything, the arena, the sound, the vibe, and watch him get his hand raised, go backstage, crack a couple more mints, and get ready to go beat some ass. That's pretty much all I can do, you know? At the end of the day, I just got to look at it from a positive and know that it's like, it's one of those once in a lifetime type of deals until we're both in the UFC, and just have fun with it, man. It's once in a lifetime. It's something cool, you know? It's something that we'll be able to talk about later on down the road.
It's like a bucket list thing, but guarantee the party's going to be a little more sweeter after these fights once you guys get the dub, right? Because you guys are going to be together.
Shout out to one half of your main event, Jonathan Martin, popping in here, who's going to be going to war with Brett Big Dog Martin, which Brett's a guy who we've rocked with on the show for a long time, but I've said it here as we've been getting ready for Lights Out Championship 15. There's nothing like seeing two heavyweights scrap. I'm looking forward to seeing that fight as well. Yep. If you guys haven't got your tickets yet, make sure you check it out this weekend, this Saturday, Trinity Health Arena, Muskegon, Michigan. I'll be back on the call. Knockouts and Three Counts will be in the building. You need to get your tickets. Since we're talking about that fight, Mondo, I know you know a little bit more about Brett being around the Michigan scene and all those things. How you feeling about that main event, bro?
Man, honestly, I can't be out here picking sides. You know, I got nothing but love for Brett, but a layoff is a layoff regardless. You know, he's a gamer. I can never count him out. I just know it's tough to come back from, you know, a lengthy layoff like that, especially after being so active for so many years. So I'm just excited to see it, man. You know, he's fighting a guy with a smaller record, in Jonathan Martin, a guy that doesn't have necessarily as much experience. So he definitely doesn't have anything to lose. So I think it's going to make for a great fight, man, and I'm excited to see it.
I like it. Well, let's talk about your opponent. Like I mentioned, you have got one hell of an opponent to come back to in the cage coming off an injury, man. So talk to me about this fight. Talk to me about when they offered you Derek Mandel, and what were your thoughts on this fight, and how do you feel you guys match up?
All right, so I'm gonna take you through the loophole real quick. So I get the call. We just started getting, like, I'm on a deal with, like, a little developmental injury, and so that's supposed to be four fights, and I was supposed to have a fight there, and it didn't happen. So, like, they gave me a couple dates, never found an opponent, and then they started spitting out, like, late fights, like May and stuff like that. And I was like, nah, I'd rather fight a little sooner. And I asked my manager if there was any way he could finesse a one-off deal with Lights Out, like, for them to let me fight for Lights Out, and it worked out. And we had to find an opponent quick, and he's like, well, I mean, we need to find somebody tough. We need to fight, like, because no one else is going to fight you. We got to find somebody tough, and we got to find somebody local. I think Derek Mandel makes all the sense in the world. I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. I think that'll be a great fight. You know, I feel like, I mean, he's a cool dude. I got nothing against him, but it's one of those fights that just has to happen. You know, he has a good reputation. He's tough. He's good, and he's right here. So, like, why not find out who's better? And I said yes in a heartbeat. I say yes to every single fight I get offered. I don't like saying no. And, so everything's all good. I'm getting ready for that fight. Everything happens, and then the phone call comes. So I think this is the first time that news breaks out. He pulled out, unfortunately.
No way! Yeah. So who's the new opponent, man? I was looking forward to this one. Damn it, Matt, you got to put me up on game on this shit.
Oh, dude, I'm taking you through the rabbit hole. So then he pulls out. I don't want to put his business all out there like that or anything. Just know it's something serious, and I do hope that he recovers and feels better. But just know I know his pain. That's all you got to know. So we get a replacement, and it's a really interesting replacement. There was this one guy, Chirpin, in particular, that was real adamant about fighting me. And I have no idea why, because I didn't even know he existed until the phone call came. Mike Hernandez.
Wow. Okay, that's a name I remember from back in the day. This means this is going to be a damn firefight. Okay.
Yeah. So Mike Hernandez hits up Brendo, and he's trying to fight. We agree to the fight, and then he doesn't even make it to the fight poster. He doesn't even make it to the announcement. So he pulls out a few days later. And then we're on our third opponent now, which is Eric Vo. So now I'm dealing with Eric Vo. Luckily, all three guys, same stance, similar stature. Not game plan doesn't really change much. It doesn't really matter who's out there in front of me. I'm coming out there to put on a show regardless. So I'm excited, and it is what it is. You know, I can't really think too much about the opponent. I got to think about me and what I'm bringing to the table. So regardless, I'm ready to go out there, put on a show, and let everybody know I'm back for real.
Well, damn,
dropping news on us out here, number one. We know all about Eric Vo because I've gotten to call a couple of his fights now. Hell yeah, dude, this is going to be a tough fight. I mean, it's still going to be a tough fight because he's a tough kid that's going to come in to fight. But damn, does that do for you mentally, though, having to change opponents like that? You said they're all a lot of the same style, but even if they're the same style, that's three whole different fighters, bro.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never been that type to make this more than it has to be. I take everything with a grain of salt, and I've always been a dice roller. Like, that's my favorite thing to do is just go out there and roll the dice. I don't care who's in front of me. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to stand right there, and I'm going to do what I do. Because at the end of the day, it's who's better, me or you, you know? And I don't change my camps for people. I don't necessarily switch my focus. I don't do anything like that. I don't like making my fight camps too specific, because at the end of the day, I need to worry about the package that I'm bringing. And that's what I've been doing. And that's what I'm ready to do, you know? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's out there. Coach Joaquin, shout out to him, has a favorite slogan, and I love it. Somebody got to get their ass beat. That's it. So somebody's there. That's all I need.
Hell yeah. Shout out to one of my former commentary partners, Drew Gardner, talking about he's about to be up in their front row on the table and all that. Dude, this fight is going to be interesting. Any way this one plays out, bro, this is going to be one hell of a fight night. I've not been out to Muskegon yet. How do y'all feel about fighting out there? I mean, I've not gotten to be out there yet. Last show they had there, I heard, went very well. You know, that's kind of more towards your guys' neck of the woods. How do you guys, how do you guys feel as far as you going to pack the place out like you normally do? Because I've gotten to call a couple of your fights, and you guys usually bring in a lot of people with you.
Go ahead, Miguel.
I've been to Muskegon like once. I don't know much about the place. I'm just excited to fight at Trinity Health Arena, man. That'll be the biggest arena I fight in. And, you know, lights out, they always pack the stands, and it'll be a great time. You know, there's nothing quite like those lights out shows, like just walking out, hearing my song play all loud, hearing the fucking crowd be all loud. It's insane. Because I fight at APFC, it's cool and all, but the venue they had last time, I fought early on the card. There was a lot of people in line for the meet and greets. They had a ton of famous fighters there, so, you know, It wasn't quite as loud as I'm used to. You know, there's nothing quite like those Michigan shows. Michigan MMA really is its own little world, and you know, I'm just excited to get back to that.
Hell yeah!
All right, go ahead, Corey.
I was just gonna say, to your point, man. Lights out. They really do always do a really good job of packing them houses, man.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to see what happens. But you know, before we get to that, y'all two got a couple of the dopest nicknames I've heard. You know, you got El Toro over here. I like what you got with the what you're doing with the merch. We got to do like a shirt swap. I'll get you one of these Ring the Bell shirts if you haven't got yours yet. Absolutely. Make sure you go get you one. Shout out to the Bounty Hunter, Brian Keith, picking one up from us at StarCast over there in Philly. Even though I wish the weather that we got here in Michigan would have found its way to Philly, but that's a story for another time.
It's way there now. It's just right behind you. That's all.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. That's because I'm not there no more. I was freezing my balls off in the Philly Stadium watching WrestleMania. But that's just,
again, did you run the Rocky stairs? Did you run the Rocky stairs?
I did, and I did it in forces, which was ill fucking advised, first of all. But I did it. That was very ill advised on my part. But I couldn't go to the Rocky steps and not do it. We literally went there, checked out the stairs. I ran the stairs, and then we went to Raw. That was how that worked.
Cannot run the Rocky stairs. I mean, come on.
So you're saying if we go to Philly, you're running the stairs too, right?
I'll run the fucking stairs in barefooted or Timberland boots. I'm running.
Bullshit. You hear this on the show. If we ever end up in Philly, it needs to be recorded for video. J-Bone says he can run the Rocky stairs. I need to see this.
For the record, you might have to carry me halfway up. My fat ass ain't in shape anymore, but I'm going to do my best to get up those stairs. I got the Rocky post. I ain't going to Philly not running those damn stairs, dude. I'll crawl up them if I have to. I don't care.
It wasn't that bad. If my ass can do it and I'm not even running the stairs like I used to do when I was fighting, your ass should be able to do it too. But, dude, it was I'm really looking forward to this weekend. But with that being said, you know, talk to me. You know, Mondo, you and I have talked a little bit about this off the air. Something tells me that if all goes well this Saturday, you might have a special surprise that might lend into the other side of our show.
I figured you'd enjoy it, and I just thought it would be something cool to do. Hopefully I don't piss anybody off, but it'll be cool. That's all I gotta say.
save that for the victory.
You know, I know a certain somebody who used to celebrate their victories a certain way, so I'll have to see if my throwing arm still has it from my days in baseball. So make sure you come out to Lights Out Championship this weekend and see if I don't make a fool out of myself after Mondo gets himself a W. With that said, man, although I'm grateful for the opportunity to be doing this fight, it happens to be on the same night as UFC 300, and one of our very own Jamal Hill is going to go get his belt back at UFC 300. So with that being said, how are you all feeling about that card? I know you guys are going to have to go back and check some of this out. And according to Matt Frendo, he says that the prelims will be on the screens as well too. What do you guys think about that card? Holy shit. Did they try to stack this one? Huh?
I think the card's loaded, man. It's going to be dope.
I love everything about it, except Bo Nickel being on the main card. I feel like it's disrespectful to a lot of the other fighters. And it's just weird. It's weird seeing that, you know.
I get that, because like the first fight of the night is two former world champions.
Isn't the first one Figueiredo and
Garbrandt?
I guess every card's a main card fight pretty much on this thing. But to your point, I agree. I mean, Bo Nickel is definitely a rising star, but to be on 300. And the main card, I don't think I'd put it there. I'm sure we're not the first people.
The thing about him being a rising star, like I don't see too many people agreeing with that. Like he's a great fighter, he's a great wrestler, but how many people like hearing him talk, you know? And that's what it takes to be a great star, you know.
That sounds like the other side of our show. Go ahead, Corey.
As somebody who's watched his YouTube channel, I don't find him too bad. But that being said, he's in the younger developmental stage of his actual MMA career at this point. But once he actually becomes more active, I feel like he'll be able to actually break through that barrier a lot more. I feel like the whole reason why, to your point, like, should he be on the main card on this one? Probably not. As a fan of his, even I'll say that probably not. But yeah. I think if you're only fighting once a year at this level, where people genuinely just forget about what you bring to the table after 3 to 6 months, like once he steps his activity up more, I feel like he'll be at that level. It's just people are hyping him like he's at that level. And if you're only fighting once every 8 months, you're not going to stay. You're not going to stay in people's mouths enough to be at that level.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting fight that one bumped off the card that's surprising to me is, you know, you talk about wrestling. You've got the UFC debut of Kayla Harrison on this card, bro. Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm, which obviously Holly Holm's had a lot of tough fights and things like that. But Kayla Harrison's a name that we've heard of for years because she was in PFL, also a fellow Olympian as well. and she's going to be making her debut. Definitely a lot of talk to be able to say who should be where on the card. But the one undeniable thing is, like both of you guys said, this card is absolutely stacked. Like, yeah. As you can see, he's fighting another guy who's originally from Michigan. He's gone out there to Colorado at Factory X. And Cody Brundage, if he gets a dub in this one, this will be a good step-up win for him. But to think that that's, again, going to be over fights like the one I mentioned. You got the former champ, light heavyweight champ, Yuri Prochazka, going on against Rakic. You've got Calvin Kattar and another former champion, and Aljamain Sterling.
If you want to talk fireworks, it needs to be Diego Lopez and Sadiq Yosef.
That's a sleeper.
If you want to talk about fireworks, that fight should be up there. If you want to, like, you can't tell me Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm belong in the main card, because we all know, I'm just saying, it is going to be a snoozer. We all know it. Holly Holm's defense is not that good, and Kayla Harrison does not have very good offense when she gets on top, so it doesn't matter.
I can't argue that one.
The only time, yet again, not to be the devil's advocate here, but the only time she has had good offense from the top position was the one time she was fighting in Invicta and was able to actually implement elbows.
That was Invicta. That was at Titan FC where she cut that one chick open crazy.
Was that Titan FC? I could have swore it was Invicta because I seen Invicta posted something about it earlier. Really? I could have swore it was Invicta.
I could have sworn it was Titan because she got a one-off deal before PFL like got her back on.
Yeah.
And elbowed the shit out of somebody the whole time.
Yeah, like bad. I remember she had some girl leaking out there. So that would be my only devil's advocate to that. Is
like, already in the comments, Diego Lopez steals the show. So since you brought this fight up, who are you rocking with? Diego Lopez or Sadiq Yusuf?
Diego Lopez, 100%.
How does he
100%.
Win?
I like it.
I actually think he might mess around and go TKO in this one.
There we go.
Sadiq is gonna. Sadiq is really conservative. He's not gonna. He's not gonna be on the ground any longer than he has to be. And Diego Lopez's offense is really good off his back, not as much on top. And I don't see Diego Lopez shooting. I see him ending up on his back if he gets sat down, and that's about it. But either way, I see a little TKO happening.
You're not kidding. I mean, I'm looking down, even clear through the early prelims. The fact that Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt is the first fight on this card is going to be insane.
Are you guys surprised Figueiredo's as big of a favorite over Garbrandt, being that he is the smaller guy moving up the weight class and stuff? No?
Not at all.
He looked good against, who was it, Font?
Rob Font. He looked damn good in that fight.
He just got a little tired. You could tell he wasn't used to carrying those extra 10, but he's had a whole 6 months to get ready for this. So I think he'll be a little bit more well-versed now.
All right. Anthony says he's got a question for you in the comments. Once he drops it in here, I will put that up on the screen. With that being said, man, there's so many good fights that you can look at on this card. We'll kind of keep it to the main card since we're already a little deep into this one. But, dude. Just on the main card, like we mentioned, you already got Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage.
Odds on that. Holy crap.
What are the odds on it?
21. According to UFC, it says 2,100 minus 2,100 for Bo Nickel and a plus 1,100 for Cody Brundage.
Nice.
So if you're betting on Cody Brundage, you might come up a little bit of money. Might come up some money, guys.
I might put a little hundred on that.
I'm about to say it's worth it, dude. It's like... It's worth it. And look what we've seen with Rosas Jr. Remember that one? He was a pretty big favorite on his first main card fight, I think it was. And he got worked, man. He got worked. So people came up on that one.
He was the favorite against C-Rod?
Yeah,
he was a big favorite.
I remember he was a big favorite, and he got worked. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah,
well, that leads right into the question that Anthony had for you. He goes, what are your thoughts on what we've seen with Raul Rosas since you fought him? And do you want to run that fight back at some point?
Do I want to run that back? Dude, come on now, bro. Of course. Every loss I've ever had, I'd run back. Like, I need my lick back one way or another. So I really hope that fight works out again. I really hope. Like, I do a whole lot of good in this world to not expect at least a little bit of good karma. Hopefully one day the man upstairs blesses me with an opportunity to get back in there. You know, I'm not the type to make excuses. Just know a lot of shit went wrong leading up to that fight, and it led to me not having a very good performance. But I know that I'm the better man in that, and it is what it is. You know, I mean, I don't make excuses. I don't talk about shit after it's already done. If you are man enough to step in the cage, you got to be man. You obviously think you're good enough to win that matchup. So it doesn't matter. As long as you show up, there's no excuses.
Hey, man, I like it. Shout out to Abel Sagir, bro. I tell you, you tell me this every time I see you at the fights. One of these days, bro, you're going to have to make your debut here on these fights. Miguel, for you, man, what fights are you looking forward to on UFC 300, man? Because there's a fucking shit ton of them to look forward to.
This is going to sound real funny, man. I don't watch a whole lot of UFC, man.
Hey,
no shit.
I've heard it from so many.
We've heard it a bunch of times, so it's not even crazy.
I do not watch a whole lot of fights. I mean, I do watch fights. I like, you know, late at night, I look up free fights on YouTube. And I watch the ones that are already posted. But, you know, when Saturday comes around, most of the time I don't sit down to watch the card. And half the time I'm at work, busy. You know, I do wish I could catch a lot of these fights. Like, you know, when they're like big fights come around and like I have something going on that day, I'm like, fuck, I wish I could watch that. But, you know, I can always just catch it later. But I guess I'm really just excited to see Jamal get that dub over.
Yes, best guest of the show, Jamal Hill, trying to get that belt back. I mean, since you brought it up, I'll let you go first. How do you like this fight, number one? And I ask that because this is a fight where I feel like a lot of people are counting Jamal out because Pereira has had such a monstrous run since he's gone up to 205. But, you know, to Joe Rogan's point, a guy like Pereira really kind of plays right into Jamal's game. I mean, let's be honest. Not that Jamal can't grapple. Everybody knows he's known for knocking people out. So if you're going to give him a guy like Pereira who will fight him on his feet and is not so much the grappler, I mean, it's the perfect matchup. So with that said, how do you see this fight shaking out?
Well, ultimately, I know it ends in a knockout. I just don't know for who. I'm hoping that it's Jamal that gets the win at the end of the night. But really, like, what I have to say about Alex Pereira is, like, you know, how many fights in the UFC has he had where you've just, like, seen him completely walk down the guy and beat his ass start to finish, you know? And there hasn't been too many of that. And, like, it's going to be a firefight, and it's just going to see who hits that chin first.
Same question for you, Mondo. How do you like that fight, and who do you got?
100% unbiased. Jamal's going to knock him the fuck out. That's just like that. This is what I got to say. Pereira gets touched a lot.
Yeah.
He definitely gets touched. And Jamal is going to stand right there and gladfully oblige, like 100%. And I think his counters are going to be better. He's going to be right there in the space. His timing is going to be better. And Pereira's offense is, I wouldn't say limited, but it's very predictable what he's going to do. He's obviously the best in the world at it. He's fucking phenomenal. But it's the same thing every time. It looks very similar every single time. And Jamal's smart enough to pick up on a lot of those cues. So I think he's going to go out there and he's going to make something happen. I mean, the way that Jamal strikes, he's a problem. He's a problem for sure. And if it does end up on the ground, Jamal's ground game is better than Pereira's.
See, as somebody,
a difference too. Go ahead, Corey.
As somebody who's had to deal with a couple injuries themselves, how do you think he's going to come back from the injury? That's my biggest concern in this fight, man. As a huge fan of Jamal, I just wish it was 3 months later so that he had a little longer to heal.
He honestly had a pretty damn good time, to be honest. Like, he had a good time to heal up. I think, obviously, an Achilles is fucking crazy to come back.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if anyone's going to do it, it's Maul, man. And he's always been good about training well, training the way where he's taking care of his body. He always shows up healthy. He always shows up in shape, and he's always ready to go five, you know? You never see him tired. You never see him wither ever. So I think that he's ready. If he's stepping in there, he's ready.
I feel that.
I know watching his YouTube and stuff, he had talked about, like, reaching out to a bunch of the other top athletes in different levels of sports and stuff that have dealt with similar injuries and talking about dealing with the same surgeon that, you know, they had had their procedure with and stuff like that. So I know he's getting the top level care through the UFC and stuff like that. And I just hope it's not a limiting factor coming into this fight. That's my biggest concern.
Definitely. I mean, well, Jamal also doesn't kick like crazy, you know?
Yeah. He's
not kicking all day, so I think he'll be all right.
I forget exactly who brought it up. It's just one of my concerns is the way he's such a powerful striker, but he really drives off that back foot when he throws strikes, and that being the Achilles that he injured. I just hope he's still able to get that same type of drive off is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
I feel that because I had Achilles tendon surgery myself, dude. I had to learn how to walk again. They put me in a walking boot. Like, they cut mine and lengthened it. And let me tell you, it makes your leg feel like bubblegum. But to Mondo's point, I would argue that if he's stepping back in there, and especially stepping back in there for a title fight, I would imagine that he feels pretty confident that that leg is at least back to where it needs to be for him to do what he needs to do. But that leads into one of the questions that we've got in the comments from Anthony Morris talking about with the fight with Raul Rosas, man, what would you do different if you got to fight that fight again? What would you do different in camp from what you learned from the first go round?
Camp? Well, I don't really like, I don't like talking about that stuff too much because it's going to lead me down the rabbit hole of fucking excuses and shit. But basically everything about my camp would change. I would change the fact that one of my main training partners was in Thailand. I would change the fact that my other training partner tore his UCL in his elbow. I would change the fact that my coach was gone for 2 weeks in Austin, Texas, leading up to that fight to get ready for Joaquin Buckley's fight. I would change the fact that I had shin splints and I couldn't run. So all I was doing was trying to use a bike and hit mitts as much as I could. And obviously, like, when I showed up on fight day, I would be ready to not get sucked into a fight that I didn't want to be a part of, pretty much.
I feel that. And man, sometimes, and that's the thing. Fighting, you can't play fighting. Like, that's the thing I've always told people since, you know, I took my first boxing fight. Like, you can't play fighting. You know, you could play football, you could be hurt, you know, you're playing a game in that. When you step in that cage and you're stepping on the other side, especially at a level like what you're saying in a Dana White Contender Series fight, obviously there's a reason why they're putting both you guys in there, because you're, you know, the top level and they're guys that they're looking at to bring into the UFC. So if you're going in there at less than 100%, you could see why that would change what happens in a fight. So that's, you know, and that to me, that's not making excuses. I mean, being hurt's being hurt, but you've already gotten back up and fought, and you said you want to take that fight again. But like I said, I definitely hope that at some point, you, once you get back to the UFC, that's one that can be run back. We got another good question as well, because I've been getting a lot of questions about one championship, but you know, with our sponsors over at Mitten Muay Thai, you know, which, if you guys are fans of the kickboxing thing, make sure you check them out. May 3rd, the Imperial House, Clinton Township, Michigan. See somebody get knocked the fuck out. The proud sponsors of Knockouts and Three Counts. Make sure you check them out. Get your tickets. The links are in the bio. But with that said, what are your, both of you guys, both Miguel and Mondo, what do you guys think about one championship? And I think what he's asking is because one championship is one of the few promotions where you'll see grappling matches. You'll see MMA fights, you'll see kickboxing fights. What do you guys think about one championship and the way they're really kind of encompassing all the different parts of MMA? Whoever wants to go first, floor is yours.
So guys, I only have time for a few more questions. I actually have to make it to the gym before they close. I gotta hop on the
treadmill. You go first and I'll let Mondo go then.
I still got a few more minutes, but I just want to let you guys know I'm gonna be heading out soon. But I actually love one championship. You know me, I don't like, for my career, I don't see myself going to one specific promotion. Like, you know, the UFC isn't my dream. One championship isn't my dream. I'll go wherever the fuck the money's at. And, you know, I really love that one championship, like, they're just giving an opportunity to all different types of these, like, mixed martial artists, not even just MMA. Like, you know, they have all these jits matches and, like, guys that don't have anywhere to go for that. You know, there's no big promotion for grappling. There's no, you know, there's not too many eyes on, or they're really putting eyes on Muay Thai and like making it like more known of like out here in our little part of the world, and it's real crazy to see. You know, I'd like to fight for them one day.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Same question for you, Mondo. What do you think about one championship?
I think it's sick, man. I think they do a great job of shedding a light on martial arts in general. Like, there's way more to this than just MMA. You know, there's they mix it up like crazy. Like, the mixed rules fights, the Muay Thai fights with MMA gloves. You could have an MMA fight in a ring. Like, there's so many different things you can do. So many different variables. It's awesome, you know. It keeps it fresh. It keeps it entertaining. And there's so much, and they're paying, you know. So it's cool.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, they were somebody who came up when we had our sponsor Mitten Muay Thai on, because they said they're advocating to try to get the 4-ounce glove Muay Thai here in Michigan. So all I know is if that happens and I get to call it, I'm here for the violence. Fuck around and find out. I'd like to see what happens with that. Right. But Miguel, since you got to get out of here, one more question before we get out of here, you know, and this goes to both of y'all. You know, as we talked about before we got on the air, I just got back from Philadelphia. Are either of y'all wrestling fans at all? And did you guys get to see any of WrestleMania this weekend?
So I grew up on wrestling. I loved wrestling as a kid. And as I got older, like, you know, the entertainment aspect of it kind of like got to me a little bit. But as I've been getting older and, like, you know, especially now since it's having its like resurgence and coming back a lot more, I get a lot of these videos on my feed, and then a lot of the throwback edits of like the old wrestlers I used to pay a lot of attention to. Like, you know, it's just real fun to see, and like, hopefully I am able to like enjoy it as I did once as a kid. But one thing me and my middle brother, Jose, not Mondo, one thing we like to do is we like to get on the PS2 and hop on the WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, 2008.
Hell yeah, I remember playing that.
Yeah, we nice. Still have all the games, and we have so many old WWE games.
Best game of all.
Awesome. But, you know, my favorite wrestlers from back in the day definitely had to be the Hardy Bros.
I just saw them last weekend, man, and it's interesting you say that, because the Newswire tells me that Matt Hardy is now a free agent, so we will see where Matt Hardy ends up next. Mondo, same question for you. Did you get to see any of the fallout from WrestleMania, and what'd you think?
Yeah, dude, so I, like, my thing is, like, I'm too busy to sit and watch any pay-per-view for anything, unless it's MMA. Like, I'm way too busy. I can barely even justify making the time to watch the MMA fights all the way through, you know? But luckily, TikTok keeps me in the loop. So I just, I sign into TikTok real quick. Bam. Whoop.
All right, we're back.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, so I, like, as soon as I log into TikTok, you just see all the wrestling on there. So I got to see clips of everything that happened, and it kept me in the loop, which was pretty cool, you know. And I didn't realize, like, it was a huge event this year. Like, they really went all out. They did all types of everything, man. It was cool.
You're not wrong, dude. So some of the numbers have come out, and we'll for those of our wrestling fans that are watching the show, make sure you check us out tomorrow. We'll be joined by Justin Valentine of Roar Around the Ring with 101 The Riff is going to be coming through to help us recap WrestleMania and all that. Dude, they came back with some of the numbers. They said between both nights of WrestleMania, there was 150,000 people in there, and they sold over 200,000 tickets between all the shows through the weekend. And they said Cody Rhodes sold over $1 million in merchandise this weekend. So these boys are out here making some money. He got to finish the story. If you guys get any time, I would highly recommend it. And for our wrestling fans, I would highly recommend checking out tomorrow's show, because I've got a lot to say about that, because I'm still on fumes from all this shit. But since you've got to get to business over here and all that stuff, Miguel, you first. If you've got any last words or thoughts for your opponent, the floor is yours.
I'm just going to make him regret taking this fight. I don't know what the fuck he was thinking, man. 2.5 weeks notice fighting me. Like, are you serious? He was just coming off a loss. He should have stayed on the couch.
He said, fuck around and find out. I like it.
Dig it.
Fuck around and find out, boys. I can't wait to get down to cage side to be able to see this. Mondo, same thing for you. I mean, Eric Voe is a tough guy. Definitely a different opponent than Derek Mandel. Talk to me about how you feel about fighting Mr. Voe, and how do you see this fight finishing?
I mean, that dude's a gamer, you know. He goes out there and he's a veteran. He don't really got a whole lot to lose. I mean, anyone with 50 fights obviously has a shit ton of experience. So I'm ready to go out there and just dump the clip on him, man. I hope he doesn't think I'm going to fight him any less tenacious than I normally would, simply because he took the fight on shorter notice. Now I'm still like, I mean, you signed the contract with professionals, and I'm going to have a 100% like I said, I'm just going to dump the clip on him, bro. There's nothing else to it. I'm unapologetic, no feelings attached. Going to go out there and just do what I do, put on a show and keep it moving.
I mean, that I feel like that sums it up pretty well, man. If you guys haven't got your tickets yet, hit up Mondo, hit up Miguel, get you a motherfucking ticket. Get down to Lights Out Championship. You can hear my dumb ass on the mic. If you can't make it, make sure you check it out on Spectation Sports. You can watch it on pay-per-view and all those good things. Corey, J-Bone, do you got anything else before I close this one out?
Hey, we'll see you at Astronomicon this weekend, man.
There we go. Plugs. Damn, dude. Everything's so busy, man. Shout out to Rob Van Dam. Maybe we'll have to chop it up with RVD again this week. If you didn't get to check out our last chat with RVD, we talked about a lot of stuff. Obviously, he talked a little bit about the herbal things and all that stuff as well. But make sure you check that out, because you never know who might be on the other end of the microphone for me this weekend at Astronomicon. I am looking forward to it, but man, your boy needs a fucking nap. So I think that's as good a place as any for us to end this show. Shout out to Andrew Smith and AAO Media. We'll see y'all this weekend. Until next time, and in the in-between time, Mondo and Miguel, let them know where they can find you.
El Toro Gutierrez on Instagram. You guys already know the deal. Mondo Gutierrez MMA on YouTube and Facebook. Everything else, find me there.
712-03 on Instagram. 712-03 on Instagram. That's it. Real simple. Five there digits.
Keep it short, sweet, and simple. Make sure you don't blink this weekend, because somebody might get knocked the fuck out. Until next time, and in the in-between time, make sure you're back here tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 9 p.m., Knockouts and Three Counts. Peace.